Praise the Lord. We're going to have fun tonight. Yeah, we are going to have fun. Okay, in this course, we've been talking about how you can be led by the Spirit of God. And the three main scriptures which we've been going over, which probably by now you all have, you know, underlined in your Bible or ribbons in there or something. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then Romans 8, 16. And let's read it all out loud. And even though, you know, your version may be slightly different, it'll be close. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if he bears witness with that, how much more everything else? Okay, then Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's where the light is. That's where the direction is. That's where the guidance is. The spirit of man, that's where the light is, or the candle, the lamp. We could say the light bulb. That's important. So those are the three primary verses that we've been using for this course. And then specifically tonight, we're going to talk about the third main way that God leads us, and that's by the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is a more authoritative voice. And that's inside our spirit. So we're not talking about hearing with our natural ears on the outside. We're not listening for voices inside, in your spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We've also gone over this. The three primary ways that God leads us is by, number one, the primary way is the inward witness. And number two, the still small voice. We also call that the conscience. And we see that in Romans 9:1. And then, as I said, the voice of the Holy Spirit, more authoritative, and that's Acts 10:19. So let's go ahead and turn there, because that's what we're going to look at tonight. Acts 10, verse 19. Are these getting easier for you to find? That's good, right? Progress. Okay, Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. So we can see right there that the Spirit spoke to Peter. The Spirit spoke. So we can see that the Holy Spirit speaks. That's important to know because that's how we're led. And these are the main three ways that we're led. And we spent quite a bit of time on the inward witness and the still small voice, or your conscience, your intuition, that knowing that's on the inside of you. And then now, tonight, we're going to talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit. Where exactly and how do we know that the Holy Spirit speaks to us? Like I said, it's not on the outside. We're not hearing him speak out here. He speaks in our spirit. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So right from that passage, we can see that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, and he leads us into all the truth, and that he guides us into all the truth. So he is definitely a safe guide, and that he doesn't speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Now, where's he hearing it from? He's hearing it from the Father or from Jesus. That shall he speak. So right there, we see that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So he gets it from God the Father or from Jesus, and then he reveals it to us, or he speaks it to us. So he has a voice, and he speaks to us. And again, where does he speak? We're not talking about out here. Where does he dwell? Where does he reside? He resides on the inside of you in your spirit. So where he's going to speak to you is in your spirit, and he will show you things to come. Isn't that wonderful that he shows us things to come so that we're prepared for things in advance? It's wonderful. We're not caught unaware, but we know things because he reveals things to us and shows things to us and tells us of things. When I was at Rhema, a friend of mine shared a story with me. The last I heard, they were pastoring a church, he and his wife. We were kind of telling stories as we were sitting around one time. And he said that one time before going to Bible school, he was in his car and it was late at night and it was dark. And he was driving in an area that he wasn't very familiar with. And it was very windy. The roads were very windy. And he was driving along. Suddenly, he heard, stop the car. And he thought, well, that's kind of odd. And he kind of, that's odd. And he kept driving. And then he heard again, stop the car. Again, I thought, oh, is that God? Could that be God? Why should I stop the car? It's dark. I'm in the middle of nowhere. What am I going to do? Kept driving, but had slowed down by this point. And then again heard, stop the car. And so at this point, the third time, see, now I don't know why sometimes it takes us three times to obey God, but thank God for his patience, right? So the third time, he pulled over and he stopped the car. And he thought, this is odd. And he's kind of trying to pray about it. And, you know, why am I in the middle of nowhere? What am I going to do? Why? This is ridiculous. These are the thoughts that are going through his mind. So he gets out of the car, trying to figure out what's going on and, you know, what is this? And he decides to start walking around a little bit. And he walks in front of the car, walks up a ways and up in front of the curve and around the curve, and sees that the road had fallen out. Just dropped out. There'd been a bridge, and the bridge had caved in, and there were warning signs that had been posted all along the way, but it was so dark, and there had been just a lot of wind. It had been really windy, and all these signs had blown over. So he had no notice and wouldn't have had enough notice by going around the curve to be notified to know. So, you know, he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him, told him, stop the car. And so he then obeyed. And so sometimes it doesn't necessarily seem to go along with our natural thinking. Now, maybe sometimes it will, but sometimes things from God, we just need to trust God. So the more we can be familiar with him and with how he leads us, the quicker we are to obey and to respond to him. Happily, he responded and he pulled the car over. In an unfamiliar area, but it wasn't unfamiliar to God. Yeah. Isn't that good to know? Yes. I mean, he's our comforter, our guide. He leads us into all the truth. He keeps us safe. He leads us into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I mean, he's good. Leads us into his promises. I mean, he's a good, loving father. Good caregiver. Good father. Really good father. Aren't we thankful?
Yes. Yes.
And we don't have to go running off to find some prophet or to find somebody that we think knows God more than we do. I mean, it's great that there may be people that do that. It's also nice to know that we've got the Holy Spirit right on the inside of us, right with us. And he speaks to us. He talks to us right on the inside of you. Everywhere you go, you never go alone. He is always with you, always with you at all times. We can see that in the scripture that he speaks. I want to talk a little bit about, we know the still small voice, the voice of our conscience, and yet then there's this voice of the Holy Spirit that is a little louder. Let's go ahead, look at another scripture on that. Well, no, you already turned there, Acts 10:19, didn't you? That the Spirit said to Peter, behold, three men seek thee, while he was thinking on a vision that God had given him. So notice, even in this one passage, we can see that God can throw in a whole bunch of different ways of leading you, even at one time, right? I mean, so God had obviously given him a vision, but now God through the Holy Spirit is speaking to him as he's thinking on the vision. So he has a vision, and now God's speaking to him about the vision. So sometimes you can have an inward witness, and then God will kind of speak through the still small voice if you don't necessarily respond to the inward witness. There was one time when some years ago, my son wanted to go play with another little boy that he was going to school with. And this family, they weren't saved. It just didn't seem like a good idea to me. And I'm very careful and conservative, and some even say I'm very protective. And I am protective, but you know what? For good reason. Because anytime I haven't been, God's kind of come in and shown me that I should be, protective. Not necessarily overly protective the way the world will speak of that, but protective. So my son wanted to play with this little boy, and so I was getting pressure from the kids, and then at one point somebody else was saying, you know, you're overly protective, you know. I gave in. Now, one of the reasons why I gave in was not people pressure. It's because my husband told me that I was being too protective. And so I thought to myself, well, okay, and I'm supposed to listen to what he says, so maybe I am overly protective, so okay, I guess I should lighten up. and I'll let him go play. But you know what? It never bore witness with me. It never sat right on the inside. I don't know why exactly. I just didn't think it was a good idea. You know, I know that they had watched, the parents would watch horror flicks and they thought that was okay, and I don't like that. And there were just some things, some differences, right? So I went ahead and I allowed this, kind of following along, thinking, okay, maybe I'm being too strict here. So I drop him off at the house, their house, get in the car and do a couple little things. And I get in the car and I think, well, this would be a good time for me to go to the grocery store. I'm on my way to the grocery store, so I'm in my car. Now, mind you, it never sat right with me. And what am I saying when I say that? It didn't bear witness with me. I didn't really have like this warning check, but it just wasn't. Remember when I told you, I don't know. That's because it's usually a no. I don't know. I'm not so sure. I don't know if this is a good idea. That's usually a no. That's your own spirit. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with you that's a no. Now, these things are important. So here I am, minding my own business, driving in the car on the way to the grocery store. Up out of my spirit comes, get my son in my house. I thought, whoa. Okay. And I mean, you know, when God speaks to me like that, he only has to say it. Well, he only had to say that one time. I mean, I got it. I heard him. I had a good earthly father that was strict, and I thank God for it because it kept me walking right a lot. And so even though I didn't grow up in church, my father was a good father, and I so respected him and wanted him to be pleased with me that I really tried to do what he wanted me to do. And I knew that when my father spoke, I needed to do it, and I needed to do it immediately. So I heard that. And you know, I did. I responded, yes, sir, in my heart. Yes, sir. And I knew he was speaking about my son. And so I turned the car around, drove straight back to their house. So I'm arriving really early for this play date. And I'm not really sure what I'm going to say other than I'm here to pick up my son and we need to leave. I pull up. I knock and nobody can hear me because there's so much noise in the backyard. So I go around to the back. They were doing construction in the backyard. And I mean, there was a team of men that were jackhammering the concrete patio back there. This was a big, nice house. There was concrete dust. It was like a thick cloud of concrete. And there are the kids hanging out playing in it, thinking this is okay, breathing in concrete dust. Where's the mom? For me, that wasn't enough supervision. Eventually, the mom finally comes out and finds us, and I just said, we need to go, and we left. Now, I'm not sure if that's why God said, go get my son in my house, or I want you fellowshipping with those that are of like faith. I don't really know exactly all the reasons why, and I've never actually let him play with anybody else that wasn't saved. That was like a first time. I knew God was so serious about it. I've never really had God speak of my son like that, get my son in my house. And it was like, whoa, yes. And it was like, and I mean it now. I went and got him and took him home. And, you know, that was the last play date for that. But anyway, so then I had to tell my husband, this is what happened. This is the situation I walked into. And breathing in concrete dust, I mean, it was thick. It was thick. That's not how I supervise at my house. That's not okay with me. What I want you to get is this. God is good and God is merciful. And if you don't get it the first time, he'll try to keep working with you and get it to you another way. But see, if I had gotten it by the inward witness, but then, you know, there were some other circumstances going on there. So then I could go back to Brad and say, hey, look, this is what happened. I don't think I'm too strict. And we actually had it happen again another time. Jesus being too strict. Okay, so all right. So I loosen up again. And then I end up having somebody that has to come bring me some prophetic word. And so I'm like, okay. But see, God's good, because every time I went to do what my husband said, and you know, he is a man of God. Yes. But see, the way he grew up and I grew up is so different from today. I used to just go out and play, and I'd come home right before dark, and we'd be out playing kick the can or whatever. We could run anywhere, do anything, and it was safe. And I grew up in Illinois and Connecticut, and there was lots of land and lots of playing, and my husband could do the same thing. Well, I've talked to other moms, and most moms now don't let their child walk down the street by themselves or go to the park by themselves. It's different. We're going by a different set of rules today in what's safe and what's okay than what was before. So this other time I loosened up because I was told I was being too strict. okay, I'll loosen up again if you think this is okay. And I'm like, okay, but we'll do this. And then somebody ends up coming up to me afterwards and saying, you know, this is what I got. And I'm praying and I'm like, yeah, okay, thank you. And then I can go back to my husband and go, and look, X, Y, and Z. So it's time to tighten up again with who we allow him to play with. And the other one was a Christian. But you know, if people don't necessarily live right, people can yield to wrong spirits, right? And so we need to be careful. We need to just be careful. And we need to be led. And now maybe what's okay for somebody else is okay for them, but it may not be what's okay for me or for my son or for my family. I had my son in public school. And in one prayer meeting, God said, you've got 2 weeks. Get him out and get him into Christian school. Just like that. That was the end of that. We'd hit Halloween. I'd had it with the witches and the goblins and the skeletons and everything else. And I was praying. God said, get him out. You've got 2 weeks to get him out and get him into another school. Okay. You know, again, yes, sir. He knows best. And moved him into a Christian school. So now I commute half an hour. I spend an hour in the car. Brad spends an hour in the car. So it's 2 hours for a day to get him to the school he goes to. Is it worth it? Yes. Because that's what I'm led to do for him. But what I want you to see is that if you don't follow that inward witness, then sometimes then you'll hear. Then God will speak. Now, not that he always has to do it. Sometimes there won't be necessarily an inward witness. And then you just, your conscience will speak. Okay, the voice of your spirit will speak. But he's good. That if you don't quite follow the first time, he'll bring something back to you again. Why? Because he loves you. The same way with my friend. 3 times on the road, stop the car. God's so good, he didn't just say it one time where you're left, gee, I wonder if that was God or not. Wonder if I should stop. You know, how long are you going to wonder? But see, God even knows how long you're going to sit there and wonder if that was him, right? So God kind of starts, gives us plenty of time to be able to respond and obey, right? But we need to respond and obey. But 3 times, God gave him enough time for him to be able to respond to that. But this is how God leads us. God leads us by that knowing, and that's the primary way that we're led. And that usually is sufficient if we'll listen, if we'll respond. And as we train ourselves and discipline ourselves to make our hearts sensitive to that knowing, and sometimes people will think, oh, that's just you. Well, yeah. You know what? I am protective. Is it just me? It is me, but I'm a born-again spirit. And God's put his spirit on the inside of me. Does my flesh feel like always being that protective? Not necessarily. Do you see what I'm saying? But the real me, am I protective? Yes. Did God make me that way? Yes. Is it for a reason? Yes. Because anytime I've let it slide a little bit, God's lined me right back up with that. Okay, so I stay with that. I stay with that. So we want to follow him. We want to be led. We want to stay real sensitive to that leading in our spirit. So whether it's about your children or your job, business, what clients to take. I just was praying about airline tickets. And I, in the natural, one seemed better than another. In my spirit, when I'm praying about it, I'm like, nope, it's this one. I know it's this one. And I don't know why, but I know what it is. I just, on the inside of me. And again, natural information isn't lining up with that. But in my spirit, I'm like, this is it. I just know on the inside of me. It's a knowing. The Holy Spirit bearing witness. And I've learned to trust that. Trust that leading. Is it just you? Well, it's you, but you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And your heart is a safe guide. You can trust your heart because you're born again. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. Now, sometimes people want to seek what we're going to call maybe spectacular guidance. Well, this is such a big decision. I just need an angel to appear. This is such a big decision. I want Jesus himself to come down here and talk to me. This is such a big decision. I want a vision or I want a prophetic word. We do not have any scriptural support for us specifically to pray and ask for that. Now, there are examples in the New Testament where people have been led those ways. It is possible to be led those ways, but it is not, okay, listen to me, this is very, very important. Get this, if you get this, this will help you. It is not wise to seek after those things. Because sometimes when people seek after those things, they can open themselves up to the wrong thing. And it's possible for the devil to come in as a counterfeit and counterfeit. So we're not to seek after those things. We are to seek after being led by the Holy Spirit, and these are the three primary ways. Now, we are open. If God wants to give us a vision, great. If God wants to use some prophetic word to confirm something to us, and it should be confirmation, it shouldn't be the first time you're hearing it. It should bear witness with your spirit and sit right with you. And if it doesn't, you need to throw it out. Doesn't matter who it is. If it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, you throw it out. Because prophecy is to confirm, not to lead. Now let's go back to talking about visions and angels and these kinds of things. It's not a good idea to ask for those things or to seek after those things. If God sees fit that that's necessary, great. But that's not something you want to seek after. And here's a real good tip that's going to help you. Most of the time, I was even trying to think about how many times have I heard actually the Holy Spirit speak to me. I don't even know how many I could count, meaning not very many. What I get is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. He bears witness, and that's every day. Every day as I'm praying, as I'm doing something. Even sometimes I'll have a thought, and if it's not a godly thought, he'll give me a check in my spirit, and I'm like, whoops, grab a hold of that, cast that one down. Because why? Because he's helping me. Not letting that thought then turn into a downward spiraling tornado or something, you know, that's going to cause destruction. Why? And because I've asked him to. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit's in me and you bear witness with truth. And you'll give me a check when something's not true. Because you're always leading me and guiding me. See, well, I'm always led. I'm always guided. That's on a daily basis. Okay? And the still small voice. I get the still small voice a lot. My own, the Holy Spirit communicating to my spirit a lot. Common. Now all the rest of them, you know, it starts getting into a different category of more of some spectacular guidance. Here's a tip for you. Most of the time, if spectacular guidance is necessary, it's because somebody's going to go through some what we could call rough sailing, rough times ahead. It appears to be necessary to have something that strong or spectacular to keep you steady and on course through the rough water or the hard times. So you know what? Think about it. Do you really want that? I mean, we don't want to say no to it, but the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit is wonderful. And you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to speak to you. As soon as you start getting into those other categories, you're talking spectacular guidance where somebody to get them through a really, really hard time needed something just very dynamic and spectacular to be able to sustain them through it. And you've read in the book of some of those, I don't know if you've gotten there yet or if you'll get there, you know, within the next couple weeks, about Brother Hagin talks about pastoring a church and taking a church, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him that he was going to be the next pastor of that church. He said if God hadn't said that to him, he would have left, because nothing in the natural wanted to do that job. There were a lot of issues. It was divided down the middle and there were just issues. So then when he preached, he said it was, well, anyway, so I've read it, but I've also heard him tell this story, that ministering, it was like a ball bouncing off a brick wall and coming back to him. And he said, if any of you have ever ministered, see, now some of you guys may start to understand this, is there are times where you can tell people are receiving or they're drawing on the anointing, and then there are times where you can tell you feel like you're talking to yourself or here the words go out and drop. And so there's a dynamic, and that's with lack of maybe anointing, but sometimes there can be a lack of anointing because there's a lack of a draw or an expectation for anointing or disunity, causing friction, strife. I mean, there's a lot of things that can cause that. But had he not had that, he would have left the church. He didn't want to pastor it. It sustained him. And so every night he'd go home and he'd talk to his wife and he'd say, if I didn't know that God had told me, that the Holy Spirit had spoke to me and said, you're to pastor that church, I'd leave. So he needed to hang on to that to get him through that tough time. So now, can angels appear and give direction and guidance? Yes. Is it common? No. Should we be praying and asking for that? No. What we should be doing is confessing that we're led. As many as are sons of God, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. the children of God. So we are led by God. We are children of God. We can believe that we're led by him, and we've looked at a whole bunch of scriptures that have shown us the leading of the Holy Spirit and promises for us to be led. We can see how Paul was led and angels appearing and, you know, angels unlocking them and getting them out of jail at the midnight hour when they were praising God. And we thank God for that, and if that was necessary and we needed it, I believe God would do it on our behalf. But praise the Lord, we can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, have him bearing witness with our spirit, and he can keep us out of some situations too. He can help us to preach the word and avoid the crowd. There were times that Jesus, and I've looked at this and it's interesting, there were times that Jesus stayed when they were after him, and there are times when he fled. And you can think, well, why didn't he just use his faith and stay and preach no matter what? Because he was led. There were times where he said, it's not my time yet. Well, didn't he have enough faith to just stay there and believe that God was going to protect him? Well, he had enough faith to follow God and obey God and do what God was leading him to do. There may be times where God leads you to stay, times where God leads you to go. Well, bless God, I'm just going to stand here and preach the gospel no matter what. Even though they're saying they're going to throw me in jail, I'm just going to preach no matter what because I've got enough faith. God's going to protect me and take care of me. Well, if you've got a check in your heart when you're saying that, if that doesn't bear witness on the inside of you, I recommend you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? Bless God, I don't care. I'll go to Saudi Arabia and preach the gospel. I don't care. I'm going no matter what. Okay, make sure you go and you're led. And make sure that you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because if he gives you a check, it'd be wise to follow that. And just remember, even Jesus did. There were times he stayed to preach the gospel. There are times where he said, no, you go ahead. And then he'd sneak into the crowd later. And then he'd kind of go right back out. And then there are times when he knew he was supposed to be there, just went. He was led. He was led. There are times to go, times not to go. Even for Jesus. If for Jesus, also for us. Also for us. Same situation, preaching the gospel. See, some of you, are called to be missionaries, and you need to know this. You need to log this into your spirits right now. If he gives you a check, you need to listen to the check. Don't go thinking, bless God, I can use my faith and override. What, override God? But see, then you're not being scripturally accurate. Because you want to follow the word of God. He laid out the word for you. He laid out scripture for you. He says you're to be led by his spirit. So what, you're going to use your faith to bypass his spirit leading? No, it doesn't work like that. You understand what I'm saying? Stay with him. You've got him. Yeah, bless God, I'm going to use my faith, but I'm also going to stay really led by my spirit, by the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I'll stay when he tells me to stay. I'll go when he tells me to go. I'll preach when I'm supposed to preach, and if I need to slip out the back door, I'll slip out the back door, and I'll come back another day. I'll live to come back another day. There's a thought. So there were times where Jesus slipped out. Why? It wasn't his time. Because he was going to live to come back another day, to finish the mission that God had given him. Do you understand how important it is to be led, not to get headstrong about something, or to be very careful with how you even talk about your faith? Yeah, your faith is important, but it's hand in hand with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Hand in hand, hand in hand. Your faith and you being led by the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, God goes with you, but make sure you're also staying real in tune with him because he's your leader, he's your guide. He'll guide you into all the truth, all the truth. You'll know when to go, you'll know when to stay. He's your leader. Ever so sensitive to him, ever so sensitive to him. And don't let your head talk you out of things that come to your spirit. Do not let your head talk you out of things that come to your spirit. We are a society that has been so strong in educating the mind, the intellect. I think we're in some places we're just starting to catch up in the church and get people spiritually trained. My, we're spirit beings. We're spirit beings. We're not head beings. A little head rolling around, you know. Woohoo, look at that head. You know, no. We're spirit beings. Eternal spirit beings. We will live forever. We will live forever as eternal spirit beings. You are a spiritual being. You are to be led by your spirit because God is a spirit, and he communicates to you through your spirit because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. Your mind was not born again. Your mind was not born again, and your body was not born again. Your spirit was born again, which means you've got the same body, the same mind, and you need to discipline your body and get it, buffet your body, make it your slave, get it under control so that you're spirit-led, not flesh-led, not body-ruled. You're not a carnal Christian or a baby Christian. Baby Christians are body-ruled. Body-ruled, body-ruled, body-ruled. No, 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 we're not to be body-ruled. We're spirit-led and getting that mind renewed on the Word of God so that your mind won't fight you when the Holy Spirit speaks. Because there will be so much of the Word of God put into your mind that the Holy Ghost will speak, and you can think of scripture that supports that. Just like that. There's another scripture. Boom. God reveals something to you by the Holy Spirit. How many times? He reveals something to you, and you can sit there and go, okay, where's that in the Word? See, because we want the Spirit, but we also want the Word. It's the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. We want the flow of the Holy Spirit, but the Word keeps us balanced, keeps us grounded, and keeps us right on track. You know what a train is like when it comes unhooked to those tracks? Ugh, that's scary. Well, that's like somebody thinking they're flowing with the Holy Spirit, but they don't need the Word to ground them. They don't need Scripture to support what they're doing. Well, I'm out. I'm way beyond the Word, sister. Well, you're in territory I don't want to touch. Way beyond the Word? I don't think so. We're not to go way beyond the Word. It's the Word and the Spirit. So when you get your mind renewed on the Word of God, there's not as much of a fight between your spirit and the head. Because the mind will go, oh, okay, let me think. I feel like God just revealed something to me. That's really good. That's neat. That's interesting. What scriptures do I have to support that? Are there any scriptures to support that? And the mind can go pop, 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 coming up out of your spirit. See, because the Holy Spirit will bring you in remembrance. But that means you've got to put it in. He'll bring you in remembrance. If you haven't put it in, how can he remind you? Remember what my Word says? Oh, wait a second. You don't know. Okay? Then he can't bring you in remembrance if you haven't put it in. So you've got to put it in. And it's amazing when you need it, how even if you put it in a while ago or a long time ago, you think, gee, I haven't read that part of the Bible in a while. But suddenly here comes this verse and you're like, wow, that's great. When you're witnessing to somebody, you know, oh God, give me utterance. Suddenly this flow and you're like, wow, oh, that's in me, you know. Yeah, at some point you put that in you and the Holy Ghost is going, here you go, here you go, here you go. And help him with this one, help him with, give him this verse, give him that verse, give him that verse. You're like, that's God in you, bringing you in remembrance. But remember, you've got to put it in for him to bring it back out. Okay, so we want to be spirit-led. That's God's will for us to be spirit-led. We're led by the inward witness. We're led by the still small voice, the voice of our conscience, that intuition. And we're led by the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is more authoritative. And if God wants to bring more spectacular ways, and some, we think they're more spectacular, and yet the reality is it's all God. It's God. So we're thankful with him leading us by the inward witness. Gee, aren't you thankful? Immediately, like this. Immediately, a knowing, or a check. Immediately. Because there he is on the inside of you. No time delay. Not like, okay, angel, take this message up to heaven because I need to know what job I should take. Right? Now, Daniel, and see, sometimes people will say, well, Daniel really had to fight those powers and principalities. They were resisting him, you know. It was supposedly answered for him on the first day. Well, yeah, it was answered for him, but he didn't get the answer because there was some battle going on. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for an answer. No time delay. Just pray right now. I've got God on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit. Knowing right now. I can know right now. I can know right now. Praise the Lord. God is with me. Thank God for that. The Holy Spirit on the inside. Everywhere I go, he goes with me. I walk into a room, he walks in with me. Thank God. Thank God he didn't leave me alone. Thank God he didn't leave me as an orphan. Thank God I've got the creator of the universe who put the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Jesus said, it's better that I go away. I've got a comforter for you, one that'll lead you into all the truth. Even specifically, specific details for your life. He will lead you into the truth. All the truth, right on the inside of you. He is so good. He is so good. Isn't he good? Amen. Let's just do a short confession. I am a child of God. Therefore, I am led by God. I am led by the inward witness. I am led by the still small voice. I keep myself sensitive to my own conscience. That's God leading me. I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I follow him. And I'm quick to obey him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.